Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Have you been seriously injured? Mama Justice is here for you. Our medical team partners with top-notch doctors, surgeons, therapists, and urologists, ensuring a comprehensive recovery journey. If you've been injured, call Mama Justice today. We're here for you.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Hello, friends and neighbors. Welcome into the Garden Mama Show. Thank you so much for joining us today. Lance is here, I'm here, and the arums in Madison are already here on the text line. They're beautiful. If you don't know about arums, stay tuned. I'm going to talk a little bit about them today. But I also want to tell you what else is looking really great. What can survive? What can go through three nights in the 20s in my neighborhood and then a week in the 60s and 70s? Pansies. They look beautiful. That's why we grow them as overwintering annuals. They can take it. I like it. What's on your garden mind today? Let me hear from you. Hey, Lance.
Buena madrugada, Mama de la Jardín. How you doing today?
It's always good
to see you.
I'm okay.
I get excited on Saturday mornings.
I want to speak Spanish back to you, but I usually curse, so I have to be careful with myself.
Be careful. Sometimes there'll be a letter in there that
something's a little bit there. Right. Exactly. I am sorry I was not here yesterday. Excuse me. Because yesterday was Fire Extinguisher Day, and I have a great story about extinguishing fires today. But it was also Working Naked Day. And somehow those don't go together for me.
I didn't see that one on the list.
It was there.
Yeah, no, I believe you 100%. Our list sometimes isn't as inclusive
as it should be. Well, it's a weird bunch of stuff. I don't know where the ultimate calendar is for these things, but woo, there's a lot of things to celebrate.
Yeah, they come up with some interesting pairings.
Yes,
like Garden Naked Day and Use Your Chainsaw Day. How did they figure that one out?
Yeah,
they do.
Bacon Day and Cook Naked.
Yeah.
No.
Don't do that.
Tell you what else just happened. And if this is so funny to have to talk about, you used to not be able to watch TV whenever you wanted to. You used to couldn't watch the 7 o'clock in the evening program at 2 o'clock in the morning if you felt like it. Okay, it was not appointment television. It was literally this is what we're showing y'all. Good luck. The Ed Sullivan Show aired where I was a child. Every Sunday night. So it's this weekend, but it was actually on the 7th, I guess, which would have been last night, that the Beatles debuted on the Ed Sullivan Show. Oh, my goodness. Nobody can really understand. The Super Bowl's tomorrow. There'll certainly be more bodies watching that. But when it came to We had heard of the Beatles. We had heard a little bit. But to see them and to have, I think there was like two different sets. The list of songs, there's like seven songs that they played. We were astounded. We were literally hooked right then. And you can, as Paul McCartney said even then, said, how come y'all are so great? And he said, press agents. But they had put in the work, of course. They had played for years, even though they were in their early 20s, they had played for several years. 7 days a week and just working out their stuff. If you've never heard them singing in German, you should look that up. It's pretty funny. But that's what they had. I mean, they were playing in Hamburg, booked there for several years off and on. So anyway, wonderful music, wonderful opportunity for us to celebrate rock and roll. And that's why none of these were written by Ringo Starr. That's why we play Octopus's Garden on this program, not just because it's garden, but because Ringo got so little love in the early years. If they hadn't had him, they wouldn't have had a band. Sorry about that, Mr. Best, but you were not as good.
Well, we do have a phone call early, ready to go, Mr. Bill in Pascagoula.
Good morning,
Bill. He is
ready
to talk about some tomatoes and different varieties, and if you knew of ones that you could recommend.
Well, let's just see what I know. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. I see a new plant that's available. It's an old plant, but it's been improved according to what I'm reading. It's called Celebrity Plus and Better Boy Plus. And supposedly the Plus variety has more disease resistance and so on and so forth. I hate to buy something brand new and plant it without somebody telling me, yeah, they've tried it, they know it's okay.
I have not grown either one of them. Not the pluses. I've certainly grown the tomatoes. If it's more disease resistance, I'm for it. Here's the thing. As our circumstances change and the tomato breeders continue, we understand, of course, that every kind of pest gets used to what we've got. So the tomato may not be, they may find another one that they could put into the line that has a better resistance, for example, to some of our blights. Particularly the early blight is a tough one to get beyond. So I'm for it. I don't grow these particular two ordinarily. I do grow one Celebrity, and I will look for Celebrity Plus to make sure that I'm trying it along with you. But I don't know why it wouldn't be a good idea. Now, if I was worried about it, I'd get one of each and put them on opposite ends of the row.
Yeah, because I've had pretty good luck with Celebrities and Better Boys and the Creole.
Yeah.
They came out last year, but it was late, and I didn't even try one. But I guess if it's I asked what was the reading of the Plus, they said more disease resistance.
And that's so important. We are having spells of really high humidity, and that just favors the fungus, and usually that's happening right about the same time that we're trying to get the tomatoes to grow. You know, that late spring wet period that we have can really set them back. So I'm in favor.
That's right. I'm right on the Gulf Coast. You know, my humidity is unbelievable.
I love where
you
are.
All right, well, thank you.
Nice to talk to you today. Appreciate you.
I'll call you back with another question one day.
Thank you. I'd like to hear the results on this tomato, too. Thank you very, very much. You know, we do change what we grow sometimes, and sometimes we grow the same thing. It's just, I'm always in favor of adding to it, but why not expand a little bit, you know, put them on the opposite ends of the row and see how they're both doing. Why not? Those arums, in case you might not know what these are, arums are one of those, it's one of those plant families that literally has an anchor in every port. There are arums that are native to Europe. There are arums that are native to North Africa, to Asia, and mostly, though, in the Mediterranean region, and those are the ones that we tend to grow here. They're all in the, obviously, the Araceae family, which is the bigger family of that bunch. But the whole point about the arum is it's like Jack in the Pulpit family. You may know that particular one. They have heart-shaped, sword-shaped leaves, and the flowers come up in a spike with a fleshy covering around it, and that's why that's called the spathe. And so therefore we get things like spathiphyllum, you know, we get words that come from that. But it's also the home of the skunk cabbage, which is one of those weird plants. It has nothing
that
to do
does
with,
not
has,
sound
has
good.
Nothing to do with skunks or cabbage, and okay. That's also why it's called the death lily sometimes.
Death lily in skunk cabbage. Come
See,
on. I mean, that is
can't.
Not appealing. So is that on purpose?
Yeah, oh, sure. Yeah,
of course. So
sure.
What's the deal with that?
Well, the particular arum, which is related, it's actually related to calla lilies, so you can kind of get in your head how it would look.
Yeah.
They were known as funeral flowers.
Got you.
And so in slang, that becomes death lily.
All right.
Now, why would they be funeral flowers? Because they're beautiful, because they're pristine and white, and because they last forever in
hardy.
The vase.
Right. Yeah, they're hardy, obviously.
You know, it's a wonderful opportunity to use them. But we don't do that so much. Now, we tend to bring the plant of the spathiphyllum, which is the relative that I was talking about, the peace lily, when we go to funerals and stuff. Let's see. Good morning, Garden Mama. Is it too early to plant potatoes in central Mississippi? You are ready. It is prime time. Good morning, Jeremy in Vicksburg. This is really prime time. One of the pictures that you will see today on supertalk.tv is that crate system that I was telling y'all about that I had seen, and somebody sent me another picture of it that was better than the one I had. So I look forward to y'all seeing that, because it's really very fun to imagine just growing them in hay and then stacking them up so they can grow. It's a smart, really smart way to go. And I have not planted. I'm going to plant this week the little fingerling potatoes that I just bought on a whim for no good reason. They were there, so I bought them. And for people who are having difficulties finding potatoes to plant, check your local garden centers if they don't have them, or if they don't have the one you're looking for, check Tractor Supply in your area, because a lot of them, they have potatoes in their racks right now. And also some other things, some other really interesting plants. Check that out. Oh, now, we have to go just a little farther into the crazy world. I have been... I have a plant. Let's start at the beginning. I have a plant that grows in the shade, and it generally speaking grows in less shade than, say, it can grow with Vandinas. It can grow when you have morning sun or afternoon sun, one or the other, but not both. It can grow with some of the roses, but for the most part, this particular plant is a Carissa holly, and it does not make berries, so therefore it does not bloom. And I love it because it has variegated foliage, and it makes a bright show in any other group of hedges. Well, over the years, the shade has gotten to it. It has encroached, and as a result, I'm having more and more green and less of the variegated leaves. So when you see the picture at supertalk.tv, you'll see it's about half and half now. Well, the horticultural term for that is called reversion. It means that the plant was selected as one that would hold on to its variegation, but something happened and it changed. It can be increasing shade, certainly can do it. Sometimes it's seasonal that, things will fade out a little bit, but more often there's another cause for it. The lower light, in this case, can cause it to lose its variegation. I had that also happen in the same part of the garden to one of the variegated hydrangeas. It's also true that if it's a real wet season, sometimes the green growth will proliferate to the disadvantage of the variegated growth. And in that case, obviously, you need to get it not to be so waterlogged, but you also need to go ahead and prune off those green shoots, which you should do anyway. And I'm going to do that because they are more vigorous than the variegated stems. And if you let them go, they'll just take over. So I'm looking forward to fixing that particular plant. It's not a mutation necessarily. It's not a virus. It can be. But for the most part, the best thing to do about reversion is going to be to take those plants, take off the part that didn't get the right colors on it, and leave the rest. Now, let me see. Janet's in North Mississippi. Good morning, my dear. Is it time to plant potatoes in Northeast Mississippi? Yes. You have a couple of more weeks than we do, but here in the central part. But as long as you're in a good weather pattern, there's absolutely the right time. February at some point is always the right time for us to plant potatoes. And in your case, if it's still too cold, I don't think it is. But if it would, you might wait until after Valentine's. Most people will plant in Zone 8 in the center part of February. Further south, it's a little sooner. Further north, it's a little later. Oh, guess what? There's a Super Bowl tomorrow, y'all.
What is, are you going to watch it and do all
well,
the
Well, I watch the commercials, and I'm cooking pizza.
Oh, absolutely. You got pizza and commercials. Everybody has a little bit of something that they enjoy about
the dough
Super
is already
Bowl.
Made. It's resting. And it's fun. I mean, it's fun. All the commercials are always entertaining.
Oh, definitely. And I want everybody, Richard Schwartz always and has done over the last few years some pretty entertaining Super Bowl commercials. He's excited about this one.
Oh, good.
Last year's was like the wrestle and it was great. But you got to appreciate
so nice.
Those things aren't cheap to begin with.
No,
and two, he is the nicest, funniest guy in the world. So seeing him in those commercials and all the guys I see on Monday are the ones that are in the commercial. They
yes,
come
of
oh,
course.
Man.
I mean, Patrick and them.
I really appreciate
their ability to have a little moment of lightheartedness because their work is so intense.
Right, it is. And we get so many good people that do call in and
that
have great questions. But yeah, y'all tune in and let the Schwartz folks know how awesome this one. They had the Schwartz.
May the Schwartz be with you.
Yeah, that was one. Yeah. So that we were even laughing about that one on Monday.
That's one of the classics.
I can't wait for Monday though now because you get the Schwartz
and then you'll get all the feedback on Monday.
Then we get them on Monday.
Now I will say. Oh, this is a terrible thing to say. There is so much chaos in New Orleans. Not that it's good chaos.
They got it locked down.
But right now, everyone that I know who's actually there is posting things like, well, will Monday ever come? You know?
they're ready for it to be over with. It's like a football game in Oxford on a Saturday when Alabama comes to town. And both teams are ranked in the top five.
You can't
go anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you multiply that times 20 square blocks in any direction, and then you've got New Orleans, and it's locked down. Plus, it didn't help that you had the nastiness down there at New Year, so they're extremely on edge and call with protecting people and making sure that didn't happen.
There's all kind of dignitaries, and then you bring the president.
Right.
So there's, it's a lot of security. Lots and lots. Now, the good news is it's probably going to be a good game.
Last time they played it was good.
Don't they both get, I'm not the biggest fan of either one of them, but they both do well in close games.
And 2 years ago, there was a 38-35 victory by the Chiefs over the Eagles. The Eagles had an opportunity in that one, and there's really a lot of the same players involved. So you have Kelce from the Eagles' brother, the center. He retired, but they did pick up Saquon Barkley, the running back who's had an amazing year.
He's the guy who jumps over people.
He's just amazing. 2,000 yards, came over from the Giants. The Eagles, they'll have a little more offense opportunity this time, I think. And they scored 35 last time, and not much has changed on either of those teams. They're both really good and win a lot of games. Yeah, they both win the close ones, so it'll be fun to watch. I don't really care who wins, honestly.
No, I'm there for the pizza and the commercials.
Yeah, the only team I really ever care with us in the Super Bowl would be New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else, it's just entertainment value.
Well,
but when New Orleans is in it, yeah, I get a little
My cadre of friends that agree with me will also say that we would just love to see the Raiders make it one more time.
Dad, I was a Saints fan before I was an Ole Miss fan or anything, because you grew up with that.
And we're Saints fans because they came finally put a team in the South.
And I loved the bags on the heads and as a kid, the great underdogs and
very tough
never
time.
Could win. And, I mean, that was just something endearing to me.
There was a move to make Archie Manning a saint, even though he's not Catholic. He was just
Saint Arch. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Now, I'll tell you what I will not be doing tomorrow, and that is I will not be having chicharrones.
Chicharrones,
it is
good.
It is pork rind day tomorrow.
Yeah. I love a chicharrones.
Cracklins. No. Do you know that was an aristocratic food at one time?
Yeah, pork belly, fried.
Just,
nobody knew how to do that, but the rich people, I guess.
I guess so. Well, the people that cooked for them.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll be right back.
On Tazarine, there's dusty fields, no matter where you go. You may change your mind, cause the weeds are high. You may change your mind, cause the weeds are high with corn don't grow.
Hey there, homeowners. Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from 3 licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
At Watkins Construction.
think it was his birthday the other day.
Yes. It's a good reason to dance around the house.
It made me sad, too, knowing it was his birthday. You know, and it's one of those that you just wish, if you had it to go back and make a wish, I'd wish he was around a lot longer.
There's a few people we feel that way.
That's what I'm saying. There's a handful of them out there. You're like, man, I don't know. It makes my heart, hurt a bit when you listen to him and know. Oh. And in the simplicity of the story, too, you know. I mean, he had the little cancer, didn't want to get it taken off. Probably could have been prevented in the long run.
Yep, could have been stopped.
Yes. One thing I wanted to say, though, I had watched a video, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and it was a little short, but it was showing these Rocky Mountain outcrops and very desert-like places in China where they were taking these metal cords and webbing them together. Mm-hmm. And then they'll throw them over the mountain and drill them into it. And then they'll get down at the bottom and with this huge high-pressure hose, and they've got this chia pet solution in there that they spray all over the side of it, and trees and everything start growing pretty quick. And I found that to be pretty interesting given some of the issues that we've seen in, say, wildfires and those things, or in areas where you have high erosion. But it was an ingenious way to really prevent some of that and create more green space in areas that, you're not getting development.
Well, more parts of the planet that can breathe.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I found
that kind of reclamation is really important.
It was something, I mean, they do some really interesting things in China. I'll be honest. I don't know where their money comes from, but they really do. I mean, some of the innovativeness.
I think you probably do know.
Yeah, yeah. Some of the innovativeness, though, that they're putting into place and things like that is very unique. It's not like technology they're stealing. That's something that's really
that's a different
just
issue.
Unique, you know. Mm-hmm. And I found that what we do every day.
Being able to change anything in the environment in a positive way is a large undertaking.
And you know how much better we feel when we have good oxygen.
Exactly.
You know, more oxygen.
Getting more green will definitely help. One of the ways that we talk about getting more green and whatnot is really by planting those trees. And if you're in a point of view to be able to plant some trees, let me suggest that you plant fruit trees.
Oh yeah, they have a dual purpose.
You know, there's beauty. And there's food. Now, come on. You can't really get beyond that. Planting fruit trees really does depend on a couple of things. First, your choice and what you want to eat obviously makes a big difference. But if what you want to eat is apples, plums, or peaches, you're going to have to consider spraying those plants. In fact, you're going to have to spray those plants if you grow them in zone 7, 8, and 9 in the southeast because we have predictable pests. We have people literally who have spent their careers defining these pests and letting us know what their problem is and what our problem with them is. So I wanted to let you know just a little bit. You'll read the directions on the bottle. You might get the combination product, or you might get individual treatments, but somewhere in there it'll tell you about doing fruit trees to help control the predictable pests that we're going to have. Obviously, there's the oil spray. We do that with the fruit trees just in the same way that we do it to the other shrubs to suppress as many pests as we possibly can. This year, I'm having to say, make sure the temperatures are not above 80 degrees. And in fact, I don't want to go over 75 for spraying oil. So bear that in mind. But this is the ultra refined horticultural oil, and it really does help even with the fruit trees. But the intervals of spray are real important to remember. You're going to spray as the flowers begin to bloom with a fungicide, because that's when the organisms begin to cause your problem that you'll only see later. Okay, then at 3/4 petal fall, it's usually a fungicide and an insecticide because you've got predictability again. You have to treat again for the fungus, but you've also got by that time the pests in the insect department that are starting to hatch up. After the shucks fall off, okay, you're going to switch to another fungicide and do use the same insecticide. The reason that we rotate is because it's important to keep those pests at bay, and they won't know quite what's going on if you use one thing this week and another in a couple of weeks later. Makes a lot of sense. You get them underway that way, your fruit crop will be beautiful, and you'll be glad you grew fruit trees. Now, Amanda's in Pike County. She says, this is garden adjacent. Oh, my goodness. That's wonderful. This is so ironic. Life is so ironic. This week, I was doing something in my office that was an arranging and a tossing and, you know, getting things put together and other getting other things out of the way. And what did I put on to amuse me? But the story about Pop-Tarts, the Jerry Seinfeld film. And here we have much better looking ones. Amanda from Pike County.
Those are like made at the house.
These are just beautiful that she made from her own blueberry jam with bacon, of course, on the plate.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting them over
absolutely,
there for everybody.
Absolutely lovely. Appreciate
this
seeing that.
This is how it's done.
She's got the sprinkles and the frosting.
No, I mean,
thank you very much.
It's dolled up perfectly. Yes.
It's perfect. Amanda, you're great. This
I'm
is so much
now.
Fun. See?
Goodness.
This is what happens.
You can't send bacon.
We're so lucky. And by the way, the bacon is cooked the way I like it.
Yeah.
I like it crisp. I don't want it to be fleshy. So there you have it.
Break a tooth almost.
Well, possibly.
I love fried bacon.
Preferably. See, this goes back. This goes all the way back. We didn't have to eat pork rind anymore. Okay? The family had gotten a little more prosperous. And so, as my mother would say, we don't have to eat that anymore. And all of that. We never quite gave up the bacon, but we certainly, you know, we discriminated a little bit more in the pig parts. So
I'm going to attempt to zoom in on this so people can really get a look.
The jam is beautiful, by the way.
Yeah,
and blueberry jam is one of those that, because the skins can be a little bit thick, you really do have to cook it for quite some time.
Ooh,
that's good. That looks nice.
Ooh.
Now, the Pop-Tart is much bigger than my head now on SuperTalk.tv.
It's like a fried pie, Pop-Tart. I love that. And then, I'm telling you,
I bet
bacon
she can
is
do that
right.
Too.
That's in oil. I've cooked enough bacon to know that's the quick and easy way to do it. But you can't take your eye off of it because
okay.
If you do, it turns into a brick.
Bad news. Yeah.
You go to the dentist.
Well, we don't want that. Well, we love our dentist, but
they love us.
We don't want to have to see them today, necessarily. I'm also working on identifying a plant, and we're going to try and find out what the flower looks like. It actually looks like one of our native arums, but it may be something else. It's got a purple back on the leaf, so if you have an idea for me, let me know. Okay. Now, there's some other things going on in this crazy world of ours that are somewhat garden-related and pretty not as closely garden-related, maybe, as Amanda's beautiful blueberry jam. But the question always comes up to say, you know, somebody will always say to you, how can we live with the possums? How can we live with the raccoons? Because, you know, every neighborhood, some neighborhoods have coyotes. Okay? How do you live with these wild creatures if you're not on a farm, you're just in a neighborhood? And what do you do? Do you run from them? Do you try to feed them? What do you do? Well, Arthas University is letting us know that even though there's a lot of pressure on the habitat, the numbers of tigers in India is increasing. And, yeah, they're in the neighborhood. They have figured out where the food is and where the people are. So, according to a new story, it's a combination of ecological restoration, which they're not doing as well as they would like to, economic initiatives, which obviously can run either way in terms of the tigers, and the political stability of the area. So in other words, if someone comes along that wants to change everything, the tigers may or may not get a better deal. Depends on what's going on in the rest of the ecosystem.
They may eat them.
I was going to say the tigers, of course, can take their own point of view about these things sometimes. So But they are deeply reverent about tigers, and that has fostered this particular point of view of coexistence. So what I want to say is, if they can figure out how to get along with the tigers in the neighborhood, we can get along with the coyotes and the possums and even the raccoons. Don't leave your cat food outside.
Yeah, if you're just patient, you know, with a raccoon, you know, I see so many of them on the side of the road that have had better days. And, you know, there's either plenty of raccoons and you know, there's crowding, or either they're not really good next to roads. I mean, as smart as those little things are,
they're not as fast as other things.
Yeah, they kind of like a slow cat.
And oftentimes they have, you know, a baby in the mouth and two more trailing behind.
Yeah,
so,
and I hate to say, because I love them. I mean, they're beautiful creatures, especially when I've had a couple get close enough, almost like you could pet them.
Don't bring them to the dinner table.
Yeah, yeah. Don't let them in, because then you'll never get rid of them after that. They love
not,
cat food.
They are not good. They are not good dinner companions, and I can tell you that from absolute experience.
But they are the funniest to watch if you can catch them.
They're wonderful
eating
outside.
Cat food, picking
it up.
And just eating it like, you know, they're eating blueberries.
If they
or
had
something.
Pockets,
they would just be stuffing them. Yeah, that is. It is
it's
absolutely
true.
A treat to watch them.
It is. It's fun. But don't do that.
It's, but don't feed the
you'll
raccoons.
End up with them living under your house. Good question. This is Chris from Meridian. Sorry if you've already addressed this, but is it okay to prune plants in this warm spell that we normally prune this time of year? Should we wait until it cools back? Well, that does bring up the question. Is it going to cool back? Yeah, probably. But how much? We don't know. Here's my advice, and this is what I'm doing in my own garden. If it's already leafed out or if the buds are real, real swollen, that's what happened. I looked at my fig. I waited too long because those leaves are probably open today. I can't prune anything except the dead parts off of that sort of plant. On the other hand, if it's an evergreen and you're going to prune it to shape it, a ligustrum hedge or a pittosporum hedge or something like that, I'm not going to do that right now because I'm afraid it will get cold, and then that new growth that it is inevitably going to put up in the next week, I'll have to prune that again. That's too much work. I was looking at an oak leaf hydrangea with a friend of mine yesterday, and it's already started to swell, but it still has all of its old flowers on it. I said, we certainly clean it up, you know, do a little neatening, but don't cut into those tips until we see whether or not it's going to actually get cold enough to be a problem. It may turn out that if this is spring, oh, what is summer going to be like? We're literally in zone 8 this week have temperatures that are 20 degrees warmer than average, and those are nighttime temperatures. So it's really something, particularly on the heels of that pattern that we adjusted to week before last. So to summarize the pruning point of view, if it's an evergreen, I'm going to wait a little bit just because I don't want it to sprout new stuff and then I have to prune it again. On the other hand, if I have dead growth on something, I'll go ahead and take that off. If it's not an evergreen, you have to kind of judge. If you've got a nice thickety thing like Japanese spireas, even other kinds of spireas, you might do a little pruning to them because this is when we would ordinarily do that. But don't overdo it in the name of not having to do it again and not having damage to the plant if we get another cold snap, because I think we probably will. I can't really say that for sure, but I think we will.
If I was betting, I would, just because of the polarization of the temps we've had. So, you know, it was so cold.
Yeah.
And now it's 70 to 80.
Yeah.
It almost makes you believe it's going to swing back again.
Well, that's exactly what that's what the averages tell us, you know. Funny story this week. I've been planting things that I probably shouldn't have been planting, but they were laying around and I had time. So also at supertalk.tv, you will see two cloves of garlic, one of which has bright green shoots coming out of it and one of which has kind of a knob on top. The one with the green sprouts was in my pantry. I didn't intend to plant that one. I intended to eat it, but I didn't get to it before it sprouted. Now, the reason we tell you not to generally plant the garlic that's in your pantry is because usually it's been treated so it won't sprout. Surprise! This obviously was not treated. The other one is one that I got at the garden center and I didn't get planted last fall. And the knob on the top of it is actually, when I opened it up, it's really the garlic has sprouted and it has really nice strong growth trying to pop through the top of the thing. So I took them both apart, planted them just because, if nothing else, I'll get some nice spicy green onion type things, green garlics, and some of them will go ahead and grow and make some garlic down the way. Probably not on time, but it'll be an interesting process to watch. I was tickled by the fact that the one that's actually for the garden didn't break through, and the one that's supposed to be for your kitchen literally sprouted a week after I put it in the pantry. So there you have it. How much garlic do you use? Do you like to cook with garlic? I like to cook with garlic. I think it belongs in almost everything. Well, a couple of innovations have happened, and I'm particularly fond of this one. They figured out which brain cells tell you to stop eating. Could I have some more, please? could I just have a little, another handful of those? That would be so wonderful. They're it's neurons, okay? We get all that. But these particular ones are just specialized. And this has been Columbia University. I didn't make this up. This is not a bunch of hooey. It is a new element of the circuits located in the brain stem, which is the oldest part of the vertebrate brain. And if you think about it, we would have had to know when to stop eating to some extent, or we wouldn't have gotten this far. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You may hide now, I know that's true. Crazy mama, sure need you. Crazy mama, where you been so long?
Before heading out in your RV, go through your propane system safety checklist. Take a look at exterior vents and clear away debris and blockage. Check propane cylinders for wear and tear. Inspect all propane appliance connections thoroughly for frays and damage. Make sure your RV has a DC fire extinguisher and propane carbon monoxide and smoke detectors, and have the vehicle inspected annually. Remember, always leave repairs to the professionals. Energy for everyone. Propane. Visit mspropane.com. That's mspropane.com to learn more.
You know that nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money. Are customers able to find you online? With the power of SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital, you can reach potential customers and get more referral and repeat business. SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital's highly trained and trusted staff is ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
Since 1871, Gaddis McLaurin Mercantile in downtown Bolton has been providing everything you need. Everything for your house, fencing, plumbing, flowers, lumber. Everything for your animals, dogs, cats, birds, chickens, cows, horses, and everything for your patio and yard. Bayou Classic Cookers, Wind Chimes, Orca and Pelican Coolers, we have most everything. 150 years of serving the community, family owned and operated, Gaddis McLaurin Mercantile, downtown Bolton since 1871. We'll see you soon.
If you're feeling anxious about your investments with all the economic volatility and chaos in Washington, tune in to SuperTalk Jackson on Wednesdays from 9 to 10 a.m. and Sundays from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. for Element Wealth Radio with Jeremy Nelson. Learn more at myelementwealth.com.
The best made-to-order lunch in Northeast Jackson is at 4th and Gold Sports Cafe. Homestyle plates full of catfish, shrimp, and rib tips, just to name a few. Eat in or carry out, DoorDash or Grubhub. Call 769-208-8283. Once again, 769-208-8283.
At GMC, we strive to make buying your next vehicle easy and take care of you long after you drive off the lot. That means upfront and honest pricing, doing everything we can to make the time you spend in the dealership as short or as long as you need. It means we understand that purchasing a vehicle is more than just a transaction for you. We want you to enjoy the experience as much as we appreciate your business. Find your next Buick, GMC, or pre-owned vehicle at FillmoreBuickGMC.com. Fillmore Buick GMC. You drive everything we do.
Well, I got a little garden in my backyard, a little hoeing, a little mowing, but the work ain't hard. It's the cutest little place that you ever did see. I've been working in the garden till I turn green.
You know, the things that happen in this world. Dot in Bolton is writing to ask. You never have to apologize to me, by the way. To ask about the fruit tree spraying that I was talking about, because right at that moment, well, let's just say she's cleaned up the coffee that the dog spilled. And since we all live with animals that do these things to us on a regular basis, we get it. But please don't ever apologize. That's fine. Here's the deal. The fruit trees that we predictably understand will have pests, most especially the plums, the apples, and peaches. Here's the regimen, okay? It comes down. Most people will use a combination product. Some people get individual products and use them at the same time, but that part doesn't matter. The timing is really what's really important. As the flowers begin to bloom, we use a fungicide because we know we've got the inoculation of the diseases happening at that point. At three-quarter petal fall, we use the fungicide again and an insecticide because at that point they're beginning to hatch. After the shucks fall and the whole thing is moving, you know, after the flowers fall, we switch to another fungicide. We want a second one to choose from because we want to distract the diseases and because we don't want them to get inured to it and therefore be able to live through it. So switch to another fungicide and continue your insecticide. So it's three different points that we – the most important is when they're in bloom and at three-quarter petal fall. But even after that, you need to keep up with it. So that's exactly the thing. Now, some organic gardeners will only use the oil sprays, but even they can use natural products for other fungicide and insecticide properties, particularly neem. Most people will use that. Okay.
Bolton's a pretty town.
Oh, yeah.
I love going through that. A buddy of mine and his wife live out there with their son, and they run the steakhouse over there. It's delicious.
Oh, yeah.
I love going into there. I go by there when I'm going to deer camp, swing by and see them. And what a beautiful little place. It really is. It's kind of a hidden gem just right off the beaten path.
There's some good movie sets there.
Yeah, it really is. Dot, you live in a little slice of heaven over there.
It's really nice. Let's see. Ray, this is a good question. When do I put out the weed and feed? Oh, that is so hard to answer this year. We've already got the winter weeds that we hope that people pre-emerged for last fall. But because we don't know how the weather's going to do, we don't want to begin fertilizing the lawn until it's ready to green up. Or actually is beginning to green up. So I'm just going to say when the lawn starts to green up, cross your fingers and maybe use a half-strength amount of the product. And just in case we have a late freeze, you can come back again after it. But it's really difficult to plan that timing right now just because we are having an unusual weather pattern and we don't know if it's going to keep going. Let's see. Explaining the muscadine pruning thing. The T that I'm talking about is the letter T that forms between the cane and the side shoot. You'll have other branches that try to go off of it and make other canes, but the ones that make a T with the main cane is the one that you want to trim down to a couple of inches long. I hope that makes better sense. I probably wasn't that clear when I talked before, so I hope that makes better sense. Oh, the hellebores are so pretty. That's gorgeous. My goodness. Really, really lovely. Yes, you've got crepe myrtles that you treated last year. Yes, you'll have to treat them again this year. Tree looks pretty good, though. But, yes, it's not a one and done, for sure. And the weather and the scales and on. Yes, it's to it again. But the good news is that your Linton roses are just beautiful. That hellebore is lovely. We should grow more of those. They're not easy, but they are really wonderful. You know, everybody's got a story from their childhood that involves fruit. You might have had the uncle that could take his pocket knife and peel the whole apple, you know, in one spiral thin thing. My grandfather could take an orange apart faster than anything I've ever seen. You know, just, okay, here, dear, eat this, you know. But I don't know. Maybe your brother juggled grapefruits. But everybody's got a story, you know. And I think that the surge in home food growing that we're seeing right now, that we are experiencing right now, is a very, and I use this word in its classic sense, a very organic move. When we had the pandemic, we understood that people were looking for things that they could do at home that were entertaining and amusing and also perhaps productive. In that case, I said, sure, grow some vegetables, grow something you like to eat. And in this case, this year, we've got another situation going where we just honestly don't know what the weather's going to do. If I was a farmer, I wouldn't be sleeping at all. They probably aren't. They barely sleep anyway. So thank y'all. Appreciate you very much. But it's hard to know. So if you can grow some of your own food, plant some of your own fruit trees, then you too will not only have good food, but you'll have good stories to tell too. So I'm all in favor of that. The disease resistance is very, very important. And of course, that's where we get into the selected varieties of blackberries and things like that that are better than the ones that were around here forever. Not to mention that the fruit's better.
How delicious are blackberries, though?
Yes.
Goodness gracious.
Yes.
That's my favorite of all the berries.
I'm a big fan of thornless blackberry bushes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we used to make syrup out of the blackberries. It's the prettiest thing you'll ever do. I mean, that plums. I mean, you don't realize how pretty
they're
the
beautiful.
Base is and
so
plum,
gorgeous.
The actual fruit part. But, man,
so gorgeous.
It comes this little purplish, reddish hue.
But I'm going to tell you, though, the green gauge plums are my favorite to eat.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The small green ones.
Mamaw would have – she had a couple of apple trees. One was – what is the one that – it is green, and it's made for making, like, apple pies and tarts, and it's cooking apples.
Mm-hmm. Usually –
yeah, and
Granny Smith is what the classic.
Granny Smith. Yeah, that's the one. And man, that thing
there
would
be others.
Loaded down.
Y'all apple specialists, I know there are others.
that thing would be loaded down, and she'd go out there, and that's when she'd make all of her apple tarts.
Mm-hmm.
Once they got right, and then she'd make her syrup for it,
hand pies,
or the glue, you know, out of it, and then chop and dice. And
if I had ever, if I just today, I would still like to have my grandmother's hands because mm-hmm. she could make dough sing, and I kill more of it. I mean, decade after decade. It's not my friend. I can make you shingles for your house better than I can make pastry dough. It's terrible.
Oh yeah, we've got to hit the pastry place soon.
I'm telling you.
That image.
Shout out to Guillermo.
The other day I had to zoom in to get full appreciation for that work of art that you're going to eat.
That really is. It really is food porn. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I mean, some
God.
Of those things are so beautiful. It's just
I was totally taken into another world there when I sat there.
That's Just Vanilla Bakery in Jackson, if you're wondering what we're talking about. Thanks, Guillermo. Dot says she lives in Brownsville, even more exclusive. That's true, it is.
Okay, nice.
Very nice. Very, very nice. So fun. I'm going to stop talking about fruit now because we're just going to get more hungry. But if you have blackberries and you didn't prune them last year, don't prune them now. Unless you have a dead cane, absolutely dead as a hammer. You don't need to hold that one there, and it might be replaced by a healthy, brand new one this year. But don't do anything else to them now until after fruiting.
What is going on with the oranges in Florida? Because they say that it's really hard to get actually 100% natural Florida orange juice now because there's mm-hmm. been some problems with some type of parasite or whatever in the tree. And I didn't know if that was
yeah.
something.
Yeah, we have citrus problems. Mm-hmm. That's why we're glad that they tell us where stuff comes from. We'll talk about oranges and what's going on with all that. We've got some citrus problems here, but they're not as big as theirs because our industry is not as big. All right, now, we're going to get breezy now. Stick around.
I keep blowing and blowing. I ain't got me nobody. I ain't getting me no blow.
Hi, I'm Billy Taylor, Executive Director at the Mississippi Department of Rehabilitation Services. Our agency works to help those we serve prepare for today and plan for the future. One way we do that is through the Mississippi ABLE program. This program provides the opportunity for individuals with disabilities to invest their money in tax-advantaged savings accounts without the fear of losing their public benefits. You can learn more or sign up by visiting MississippiABLE.com. That's MississippiABLE.com.
You know that nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money. A lot of businesses are losing opportunities to get new customers if they're not online. With the power of SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital, you can reach potential customers and get more referral and repeat business. The highly trained and trusted team at SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital is ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
We've sent that rib.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
I really like it when you imitate an egret when you're flying in there. It's really a joy. I'm sorry nobody can see it, but me on the other end, I'm kind of happy.
Yeah,
good morning, Lance.
On the weekends, I like to keep the camera off me as much as possible. I have to do it on the weekdays, so, you know.
So you won't see all the makeup that he puts on Friday night.
The eyeshadow. It's still there.
Anyway.
I glued on some real long lashes, too. But actually, I had a thank you story quickly. One of my neighbors, she is a listener of this show and also to The Handyman. She is Chinese, brilliant, PhD, and she had asked me to come by about a week ago. She said, well, you got a handyman that can come by? I have my toilets and this and that. I said, oh, no, I can handle those things. Ran over there yesterday, fixed a couple of things. And one of the beautiful things is she is such a avid grower of plants. I mean, and so the interior of the house, though, I want to say that you know, it's just so fun to see somebody that takes such great love and passion in their plants and growing. And it seems to spill over in the life, too. She's, you know, a great little artist she's working on. But in payment, her mother had, when she came over from China, had made a bunch of homemade dumplings.
Oh, my goodness.
She had a bunch frozen, and she was adamant that I take some.
Well,
I'm like, I'll be happy to.
It was not too hard to convince
you. Because you know how much I am with a dumpling. I mean, and so she was so happy that I like Chinese food. We talked about that a while back. So she made about 100 of them. Man, I ate my weight in pan-fried homemade Chinese dumplings
it's
yesterday.
It's always wonderful
surrounded,
when mama comes.
Surrounded by plants, and, you know, that was just so wonderful.
What a good
but
day.
I wanted to give her a shout-out today and
absolutely
say thank you.
That's delightful.
And a great listener of ours as well. And a grower of the plant.
That's
and
wonderful.
Loves doing it. She
that's
just
wonderful.
And I love running into people like that and that do hear our show. And, you know, then eventually they kind of, oh, are you that guy that gets to hang out with Garden? Yes, I have that luxury. I do. And it's wonderful. And it allows me to meet so many people.
Well, you missed it this week. Peaches and I had a business meeting. And I saw lunch.
I wish I was there.
And it was lovely. But someone at the next table, because Peaches has taken your point of view that everyone should know who we are.
Well,
when we
go
somewhere.
Yeah.
And it turns out that there was a listener at the next table, and he was delightful. It was really fun to talk to him. He and his wife are about to celebrate their 20th wedding anniversary, so congratulations, y'all. She was beautiful, of course, and he was very lucky. So
yeah, I mean, you want to marry up. That's always a good thing.
Always attempt to do that.
Dave did that.
That's
he married
great.
Up with you. And, you know.
That's very sweet.
And
that's
Claire's husband, he married up.
That's right. Know, we're all very fortunate. We are, in fact.
But no, to make that long story short, it's always wonderful to meet our listeners and to hear stories and see the hard work.
Finest people in the world.
The best people out there. And that goes across all of our shows and all of the things that we get to do. But again, wanted to say thank you to all of y'all who listen and those that reach out and share with us. I know that that's a personal thing and we greatly appreciate being part of it.
Well, it's we have a bit of news coming in on the text line today. Speaking of citrus problems, which, by the way, as I thought, but I didn't want to say without getting the name right, it is, in fact, the psyllid creature, the insect that has brought the citrus greening to the trees
in Florida.
That's it,
the greening of it. That's what it is.
Well, it kills the trees, but worse than that, sometimes the trees look okay and the fruit's messed up. So that's a whole year of, you know, really a mess. And there's not a cure for the disease as it happens. But it is vectored in by the psyllids. And they're pretty hard to control, too. So we got Donald in Oxford bringing us another wonderful point of view. Speaking of citrus problems, my friend is a coffee bean importer. Just this week, his futures almost doubled. He says there's a drought in Brazil, so if you like coffee, get with it. I'm happy to tell you that here in about a minute, there's going to be a coffee that has Garden Mama's name on it, a particular blend, and I'll be more than happy to help you fill up your freezer with it or your pantry or whatever you've got.
Special delivery.
Yes. It's really, when you know people who do interesting things, you just, you want to spend more time with them.
Well, and it's
nobody's going to name a pastry after me, but coffee, yes. You know.
And that's not something that just was conceived yesterday.
No.
It's a process.
It's been going
you've been working on. Yeah.
No idea. Do you know how hard it is to remember the coffee you tasted and tested 2 weeks ago if you don't write it down? Mm-hmm. It's very difficult.
There's so many coffees. It's like wines and everything. There's the palate is covered.
That's
but,
right.
You know, big
That's
things
right.
come from small beginnings. And hopefully, I'm looking forward to the coffee blend.
I'm too. It's been fun to work on, and it's delicious. So that's really terrific. Oh, this is fun. Tomato still going, 5 gallon bucket. Thank you very much. That makes it portable so you can bring it and take it and do what you need with it. Planted it in the fall along with a couple of others. Lost a couple during the cold spell, but this one is still thriving. That's beautiful. The tomatoes are perfect too, by the way. Just gorgeous. Love, love, love. Thank you for showing that to us. And yes, we need to have that screaming banner. February the 8th, 2025.
That with that
harvesting
bacon.
Harvesting today.
You have the bacon and that with a little white bread.
Oh, my goodness.
It almost feels out of season for
some
it,
happy, but. Some happy wheat. Come
yes.
on. With the warm snap, is it too late to prune fruits or hardwoods? Okay, we did talk about this a little bit, Brian, but I'm happy to tell you again, no problem at all with that. It is okay as long as your fruit trees have not begun to bloom, or your crepe myrtles either. They may swell up, but the buds will just be ready to pop a leaf out on a crepe myrtle. In the case of the fruits, they'll just about be ready to pop their flowers open. At that point, it's too late for anything except the oil spray that you might make on the stems and trunks themselves, the branches themselves. But if they haven't begun to bloom yet, you can certainly do the oil, and then when they bloom, you begin with the fungicide. Okay, and the pruning itself just depends on how they're doing. If they're ready, if they've already started to bloom, then no. But if they haven't, hurry up. get busy, because it's still going to be a little bit warm, and then it isn't going to get that cold, at least in Zone 8, in the next period of time. Well, what a great question. I'm so glad y'all are so interested in doing all this. The evergreens, of course, I would rather wait for a few weeks. We usually prune them at the end of February, beginning of March in Zone 8, and I would like to see you wait for that just because if we do get another really cold week in 2 weeks, which is possible but not entirely likely, you could do some damage to them, and I'd rather you didn't do that. So let's go the other direction. Oh, my goodness. I had forgotten about this. Not everybody likes everything. This is a texter for us today, kind enough to listen to the show, even though we played that darn Me and Bobby McGee a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
This person. Thank you. We appreciate you. And I'm not going to give you a name. Sometimes I give people names, but I'll just call you Bobby. So I have small little boxwoods, I think they are, in large planters on the patio, and they look healthy, but over the last few weeks, one has gotten much lighter in color than the other, which is deep green. That's cold damage.
Mm.
Should I be concerned? No, but when it is almost time to prune them, you'll cut off the cold damage. You'll probably want to prune the other one to sort of match it if you're trying to have them be even. That's one of the hardest things in the world. You put the exact same plant across the patio from the other in the same container, same kind of container, same kind of soil, same kind of exposure, and still one does different from the other. Just the natural irony of the world.
Well, he is admitted to who he is.
Hey, Earl.
Mr. I don't like me and Bobby McGee, Earl and Madison.
Glad to talk to you, Earl.
He's an honest guy. Thank you, Earl.
Well, then, you know, I mean, that's just fun.
Yes.
But everybody, we appreciate knowing, because it's not that we'll change
I'm
anything.
I'm going to play it every time now and say, this is for you, Earl. I got you,
but we
man.
Do want to know who to dedicate it yes. to in there somewhere.
Next time, yes, it's for you, Earl, me and Bobby McGee.
Oh, my goodness, that's fun. Thanks, Brian, in JS also. That's a really good one. And that's, of course, we've got Earl. Thanks, Earl. Appreciate you so very, very much. It's just a joy to have you here with us. I have a question. Are we doing Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere? It's National Kite Flying Day. I want to know where. If I'm in Buffalo, New York, I'm not going to be flying a kite today, I don't think. Am I? No?
Probably not.
Yeah,
the kite's probably going to be in Antarctica,
well,
you know,
I mean,
in 5 minutes. With
you know, all of that. That's a weird one. So I'm thinking maybe it's a Southern Hemisphere holiday thing. I don't know.
It would have to be warm enough to enjoy it.
Well,
I mean,
yeah.
Kite flying.
Now this is propose day. Even though next Friday is Valentine's Day, I guess you're supposed to propose today and then have the party. I don't know how that all works out. But I heard the best. Oh, goodness. What do you do if the waiter has such a great sense of humor that they bring fairly real looking but fake engagement rings and drop them in the champagne? So when you can see the couple Oh, dear.
Now, that would be
the wait staff is all laughing.
Put them on the spot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know you've been wanting to ask.
You know you have. Oh, you haven't? Oh,
no,
really?
No. What's going on here?
So I do that to Lance. He would be out the door so fast. You have no idea.
That's when we sit on the patio.
That's right. So we can
get out quickly. If we have to. Got to escape.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what this one is, but I'm just going to leave it.
I think that's a garden cuss word.
I think it is.
In three languages,
sure.
Yeah.
Sure
John, thank you.
Is.
Yeah, I'm going to research that and get back to you.
Okay, we may put it on a T-shirt. I don't know.
There's some interesting symbols in there.
We talked about potato planting today. We've talked about rose pruning, but we have not talked about this. The really beautiful, the boxwood made me think about this. There's a photo today on supertalk.tv that is the perfect example of what you're seeing in your garden as you go to prune roses. These are knockout roses that are obviously big and obviously have old flowers on the top of them, but they also have browned, pale leaves on the top from the cold damage. This is not where something is all the way through the whole plant. This is just like a frosting on the top where it got too cold and the leaves just desiccated. So it's one of those things. Luckily, we get to prune roses now anyway, and we certainly want to go ahead and take off that damage. But when we prune the knockouts, I'm going to say again, unless you may have a different point of view than I do, but if you want my point of view, don't take them down any more than one third of their size. The others, classic heirloom roses and things, I'm going to take farther down because they are so vigorous, but the knockouts are ultra vigorous, and if you cut them way down, you're going to end up with lots and lots of green leaves and not nearly as many flowers as you would want in the first blush. Some people, that doesn't matter. They're just trying to control their height so you can still see out the window. You know, this is where we planted them thinking they would be 3 feet tall. Well, they're 3 feet tall if you prune them every year. So that's one thing to think about. But it's also the opportunity to take off that cold damage, which I think is important for everybody to know about. By the way, here comes the hen bit. It's another reason why I'm not too sure if spring is going to be early. I feel like if tay-to-tay and the other early daffodils begin blooming this week, which they probably will in some places, I'm thinking we'll have that late cold, but I don't know how cold it's going to get between now and then. The reason I say that is because the plants seem to know better than we do, and that's often the case. Now, if you have henbit, pull it out. It's lovely. It's one of the ones I'll leave a little bit for the pollinator insects, but it is something that will literally spread across your lawn in a hurry because it's a very advantageous weed. Chickweed is even more so, and I saw it coming up in some of my pots yesterday. Just little bitty. It's you probably know Poa annua too, which is another one that comes up pretty early. These are the things that you got the time now. Go ahead and pull them out. Leave enough so the pollinators have something to find. But at the same time, this is when you want to be considering planting things like Amsonia, the ones that are going to be beautiful and intentional at this time of the year for the pollinators. Okay. I'm going to say again because I'm afraid somebody wouldn't have heard it. Don't spray oil if the temperatures are going to be over 80 degrees. I don't care what the date is. If within the next 3 or 4 days your temperatures are going to be up, wait. The good news is that where I am, next week is going to be rainy, so you could wait until the end of that and probably be a little bit cooler, and it would be a good time to spray. But it's also true that you just have to go by how your plants are and how the weather is in your particular neighborhood. That's probably true all the time, but especially now. The citrus greening that we referred to a little bit ago is really only one of many pests that citrus has. There are quite a few problems, you know, with the greening that's happening to the trees now. It is also known as HLB. You will see that it's an Asian word that they have contracted into the initials HLB. Huanglongbing is the name of the disease itself. But it's killing the citrus trees in Florida because the Asian citrus psyllid, the little dude, tiny insect that feeds on both the leaves, but more importantly, the stems. So, for example, we don't have that problem here, But if you're trying to keep insects off of your citrus, the stems are in need of being sprayed with the oil that we use anyway. It's important to remember that. Sometimes we think when we think spray, we think we're spraying the leaves. But you also, when you're spraying an oil, you particularly want to make sure that you're spraying somewhere in there to get yourself the opportunity to help suppress the insects on the branches, on the stems, and on the trunk. I will tell you one more thing that is perfectly fine. I talked about pruning anything that is absolutely dead. And, you know, you do a scratch test to see if it's really dead. Scratch a little bit of the bark off, and if it's green underneath, leave it alone. But if it's not, then it's dead, and you can go ahead and take it back. If you have those situations that we always talk about pruning in the early winter, well, late winter, early spring, that are the azaleas with only leaves on the top, or some other shrub, but I mean, I don't mean to be so mean, but it is usually that the azaleas are that way because they have been sheared across the top too many years. And in fact, they have no leaves under the bottom because there's never been any sunlight to get down into there. This is the time of year when you may want to consider thinning some of those shrubs out so that there will be more sunlight. And it's okay to do that while they're not growing, which they're certainly not growing right this minute, that you're not seeing any new growth on it. And in some cases, some of those branches are dead. So you can test for them, get rid of the dead ones, but clear out so that some sunlight can get in there. Then when you fertilize and water, you'll have some results. Another thing that we see sometimes, of course, is that we end up with more pine straw and more leaves and things piled up against the plants than is healthy for the plants, not only because it's keeping them from breathing, but mainly because, frankly, it's keeping the water from getting to their base. So think about those things. There are some things to prune, there's some things to rake, and, well, there's some things to just see about here on this beautiful day in February. I'm surprised, but I really, really like the second generation of this family every bit as much as the first. Stick around.
Nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money. Do you have an old, outdated website or just a Facebook page and still not bringing in customers? Targeted digital advertising from SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital's highly trained and trusted staff is the answer. We're ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
Hey there, homeowners. Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
The best made to order.
Soon she's going to fly away. Sadness is her own. And herself a bath of and go home, and go home.
Ah, yes, we don't sing out loud, and you're so lucky.
Yeah, I'd ruin it.
Oh, yeah, tear it up. Now, on the other hand, we have another version from our listener that we're going to be getting into here. You haven't heard that yet. Mm. It's a version of Bluebird's. Delightful, just wonderful.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
One of our listeners, I had asked and called, did not necessarily want to get on air, but right before the break, she said, I have two birds on my porch, and they will not leave. It's the same two birds. They're running into my windows and doors and messing up stuff. How do I get rid of them without trying to hurt them, obviously?
Do you have a cat?
Yeah, that's always my go-to.
You know, it's funny. Usually that behavior doesn't go on for too long. But, yeah, sometimes there'll be this particular attraction to something. People will try all sorts of things. If it gets too annoying, like in 30th floor apartments where you can't get the birds to leave you alone, they keep pecking on the window. Sometimes people realize that that's a cry for food. Not always, though, especially not in our part of the world, because there's plenty. I've just put up some information this week. How come my Nandinas are still full of berries? Well, it's because they haven't needed them. Plenty of other things for them to eat. Usually by now they're stripped, but not this year. You know, I might put some kind of noise there. And what people do sometimes to keep critters out of any planted place, containers or garden beds or whatever it is, and it probably would work with a window too, is to hang something else there. You'll see the owls and snakes and that sort of stuff. But a lot of times just hanging mirrors or wind chimes, something that makes noise or has a different or reflective thing. I've used prisms for this to keep them out of my blueberries sometimes, and it has worked at times and not at others. But just because it changes the light and changes the way things are, I would just say it's a disruption technique of some sort.
You don't have to put a scarecrow out there, in other words, but it wouldn't hurt to maybe put something on the window or, you know, like a fake owl or whatever that gets them out of the way.
Sometimes people will take those peel and stick things and just cover the window up with them because
they work, and they go, birds quit running into the window.
Yeah. There was a terrible problem in Des Moines, Iowa a few years ago where every day when my editors went to work, there were dead birds on the street because they kept running into the windows. And they did it with a change in lighting and a change in some. They didn't do three-dimensional things, but they did some cast. They did some projection so it looked like there were things on the window that weren't there.
Or you could just go real simple and get like a 1982 JVC recorder if you got it sitting around and just
motion-activated noise is always a good thing.
Just get a cat sound or turn it on YouTube. You can find tons of kitty sounds. Put
hours and hours.
And just put it through a speaker and see if that'll do it, because cats and birds, there was a cartoon once that described that battle pretty well between the Tweety and the Kitty.
Yeah.
And that's real. Mine will tell you. They are always hunting for them.
Tweety bird wins most of the time.
Yeah, they always win until that 1% of the time. And then the
good
cat
question
gets
about
lucky.
Some tulips found in the refrigerator. Ah, yes. Yes, please go ahead and plant them. They're not going to be any good to you later. And getting them in the ground now, they may come up on a short stem. They may not. They may sit right there and be very quiet and suddenly burst up with a perfect flower. But, yes, get them in the ground because it's not going to be – it won't benefit you to wait. Sometimes we just say, oh, what is in that sack? Well, just don't cut them up and treat them like water chestnuts and you'll be fine. Yeah, I do know somebody that did that once. Was not a great idea for them. Did not turn out well. The great day of today, of tomorrow, rather, the pizza day, Super Bowl day. But I don't know how to tell you this, as if it wasn't obvious in most cases. This is Man Day tomorrow. What does that mean? Well, as one who appreciates men perhaps more than some folks do, I get really distressed by two kinds of media. I get very distressed by things like, I'm sorry I feel this way, things like Full House that my children watched when they were kids that basically was Mom's dead and we're all having a great time. Those are real sad to me. The Last Dinosaur, the Little Dinosaur, rather, all those kind of things, those are very sad. But it's also true that men get made into dummies, and y'all are not. But we put y'all down sometimes in the name of humor or, you know, as if you don't know how to do laundry. Well, if you don't know how to do laundry, let's learn. It's not that big a deal. But men get put down a lot, and I don't like that. I'm more of an egalitarian.
Well, I will have to say Sarah Thomas, the great Mississippian, who is the first female NFL yes. ref. Yes. You know, she was in the Super Bowl in 2021.
Yes. I love seeing that ponytail.
Yes. Yeah. I just wanted to have a shout out because you were saying Man Day. I will say that she is the first woman, though, to officiate a NFL game, a Super yeah. Bowl. And she's a local girl.
Yes, she is.
Lives here in the metro area.
Yes, she
and,
is.
And amazing person. So.
And she has literally opened the door.
No, definitely.
For so many other people because, you know, I would have loved to have had a chance to do that, but that wasn't going to happen when I was a kid. And she just was, she was able to make it happen, and it has been a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's like, did you know that female singers used to not perform at night? I mean, this is way back. This is, you know, early jazz clubs. It was always the supper set had to be the women because you that was later on was considered, you know, woo, whatever it was. Give me a break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and yesterday was the day that was the first, and it's February 7th, 2021. That's what made me think of that. That mm-hmm. was, it was one mm-hmm. of those, on this day in history, Sarah Thomas.
There she
the
was.
First female yep. NFL ref in a Super yep. Bowl game.
So. So cool. Her name will always be in that record.
That's right. And an even better person. I mean, you know, great person, too. So it's always it's nice to have both qualities, right? Be immensely successful and
well, yeah.
to be a great person.
Well, yeah. I mean, the two do not always go together.
That's what I'm saying.
Like
that's a nice pairing there.
We like it when they do. That's for sure. You know, one of the pieces of the puzzle has always been the person who wants to do something different, something out of the loop. And why is that? You know, why can't everybody just, you know, do what's expected of them? I think the good news is that there's room for both. There are times in my life when I have not wanted to be a disruptor. And there are other times, like deciding to grow sustainably, when that's kind of went against the mainstream, but has proved to be something that I'm very devoted to and very important to me. I wouldn't have felt good if I had gone the other way. I wouldn't have been as successful. So I think we have to hang on to what it is that makes us feel good about it, whether it's gardening or anything else. I'll bet you she loved football just as much as anybody in the world and said, well, I'm going to be out there. I like that kind of vision.
I can do this.
Yeah.
You got to have a little, you know, of that little engine that could mentality.
Absolutely.
In this world.
Oh.
It's too easy to not do something. It's
well,
really
and,
hard to do
and sometimes
stuff.
That's the most painful thing is the not. The things that you don't do. The things that you look back later and think, oh, if I had just taken that job or if I had just not taken that job, well, you know, whatever it is.
It's kind of like that tattoo the girl gets that says no regrets
oh,
on
dear.
The commercial.
No, that's
you don't want to do that. Get
yeah,
it right.
Yep. The mayor of Starkville, Mississippi was the first female to ever land a fighter jet on an aircraft carrier. Thank you, Ray.
I love it.
Thank you, Ray.
In the world.
Now we're going to get that date and put it into our calendar.
That's one of those that needs to be on the national list.
For, of course it does. Good heavens. That's wonderful. I have... I don't usually go to the music performances at the fair because it's nighttime and I'm
yeah not you're all about the lineup
not because I don't want to go but because frankly I'm not afraid to go. I can't see to drive at night, so I'm sort of, you know, stuck. But Gretchen Wilson is going to play at the fair this year. That's so fun.
Yeah, great lineup.
Next Saturday night on February the 15th. She doesn't know me. I don't know her. But her music is just a good time. So I encourage all y'all.
The rodeo is just
the
a
rodeo
good
looks
time.
Great. Well, of course. But, I mean, everything that's going on this year just looks particularly bright.
The commissioner just keeps, like, adding, you know, little feathers to it each year. There's another feather in it, and it gets better and better. You got the steakhouse down there, too.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, and burgers and steaks, and you got the apparel section, all the entertainment. And then you get to go see all the livestock and everything. Well, how cool.
There's so many great events, and there's great competition for them. So please put the rodeo on your list.
And Gretchen Wilson.
And even if you don't like Gretchen Wilson, that's okay. They got other great acts coming.
Yeah, you can buy a ticket and email it to Nellie. Yeah, she'll take it.
No, I tell you, I can't drive
I'll get
at night.
You down there. I'll get you down there.
Well, that'll be fun. I'll look forward to it. But Lori Morgan is also performing in Ella Langley, both of whom are terrific. But Gretchen Wilson is what my mother would call a cutter. She's just a sharp, crazy, wonderful act. And I look forward to that. That's fun. Good for her. Good for them.
They need to start selling like live streaming tickets to it for
of
those
course.
Folks around the state that can't get there but
of
want to
course.
See that. You know, have a conversation
little
with the commission.
Little pay-per-view thing.
I know his chief of staff is one of those brilliant people. So I know him. I went to high school with him.
There's
so
a lot
might pitch
of us.
It. Like, man, next year y'all might want to start selling some, you know, streaming rights here.
That's right. Have you even thought about it? Have you, speaking of new stuff, have you heard of the Vortex Ring, the ionic wind launchers? Come on, this is cool. If you have ever blown out a candle on a birthday cake, you know that a quick burst of air can be enough to put out a flame. So why doesn't a quick burst of air work on bigger fires? Well, because the fire is bigger than the capacity of that blowing out the candle type breath. So they've invented, this is just wonderful. I really think this is one of those smart, smart things. You can't blow on a campfire, for example. But when you put this particular process to work, you shoot a vortex ring of air that creates turbulence that separates the heat from the fuel. At the same time, the vortex carries conductive aerosol particles that ionize the air and produce even more turbulence. I love this. When you see the video of it, you go, well, why haven't we been doing that? Because we hadn't invented it yet. That's why we're still here trying things. And perhaps even most exciting for me, the copper leaf is what they have chosen as the most conductive aerosol out of the 7 different mixtures that they tested. Good heavens, that's another classic use for copper. You know, that's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. This is literally the ionic wind. Sounds like the name of a band, doesn't it? But this is literally an ionic wind that is a fire extinguisher. So smart. So, so smart. Oh, fun. On the way to get seed potatoes. That's great. Good question, Corinne. Can I cut them in pieces to make them go farther? You don't really want to do that. Unless you also happen to keep sulfur dust around. We don't want to cut those potatoes unless we just have to. And if we cut them, we want to dust them with some sulfur. And that's because the cut surface can be itself a real source of bad fungus problems, especially in wet soil. And since it usually gets wet around here in potato season, you don't want to put that cut side into the soil. But if you have to, and you cut them, then let them callus over for a day or two before you actually plant them. Yes, sir.
We have a phone call from Joe in Petal, and he had a great question about a type of soil that he wanted to ask you about. He'd seen the advertisements for and was really curious if you had an opinion on it.
Well, we'll find out. Good morning. Welcome into the Garden Mama Show.
Good morning. I just see this advertisement for this coconut soil type mix that's they spell COIR. It comes in a brick shape, and you add water to it, and it's supposed to be a, you know, something that you can grow vegetables in.
It works very much like peat. It's a very fine textured material, and it certainly can be one of the parts of a good mix for growing just about anything. I wouldn't grow orchids in it probably, but just about anything else. It's just
okay,
one of those things. And it is pressed coconut fiber.
Okay, if you didn't do that, my daughter's wanting to plant a couple of tomato plants in a pot, like a 5 or 6 gallon container. If you wouldn't use that, what would you use if she just had to go to the box store?
I would go and get a bag of potting mix. Potting soil is going to be just like the perlite and the organic matter, but the mix is probably going to have some fertilizer in it and also maybe some water holding crystals, which are good in a container setting like that. I'm going to get a good bag of potting soil, and I'm also going to get a good bag of something that is a bark product, maybe soil conditioner, something that's about a half an inch around, and I'm going to mix those two together, and it'll make good drainage, and it'll also make a really good mix with a lot of nutrition in it.
Okay, the potting mix, and what was the other type?
Just hold on for me, and we will come back and talk more about potting mix after this break. Stick around.
Oh, what joy for every girl and boy, knowing they're happy and they're safe. We would be so happy, you and me. No one there to tell us what to do. To be under the
see. And an octopus has got quiz you. And an octopus has got quiz you. And an octopus has got quiz you.
Think of all the comforts your family enjoys around your home. When you include propane appliances throughout your home, you can have even greater comfort from endless hot water to softer clothing and cozier heat on cold winter days. With an all-propane home, you'll also enjoy greater efficiency and energy savings compared to all-electric homes. Go to PERC.com and ask why propane. The answer will be clear. Energy for everyone. Propane. Visit MSPropane.com.
We have one voice, the voice of agriculture. We have one job, growing the products you need every day. We have one mission, fighting for agriculture and rural Mississippi. We have you in mind, caring for your private property rights. We are the Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation, 100 years and counting. Become a member today at msfb.org.
To start a project or remodel with wood, you need to think Miller Lumber in Richland. Since 1953, we've built a solid reputation of supplying quality wood at a lower price, like Western Red Cedar and Cypress Lumber, as well as a wide variety of patterns in pine, cedar, and cypress. Shop Miller Lumber for the best price new pine flooring and treated lumber in town. Miller Lumber, 551 Old Highway 49 South in Richland. Visit MillerLumberSales.com, 601-936-7099.
Catfish, hush puppies, and fried dill pickles. For a flipping good time, come down to Cock of the Walk.
Proud to be celebrating our 45th anniversary. Voted the best catfish, cornbread, and sweet tea in Mississippi. And don't forget the greens and coleslaw, too. Introducing our new entree, fried and grilled shrimp. With locations on the Reservoir, Pocahontas, and 1 mile from the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, Tennessee.
For a flipping good time, come down to Cock of the Walk.
I like chicken.
I like fish.
I like hush puppies.
I love it. Catfish is excellent.
For a flipping good time, come down to Cock of the Walk.
Think for a moment about everything you own. The furniture, closets full of clothing, kids' toys, all that stuff in the garage. Moving to a new location, whether it's across town or across the country, can be stressful on you and on your belongings. That's why you call Two Men in a Truck. They can move a few items from room to room, rearrange furniture, or carefully pack everything and deliver it safely to your new location. When you need friendly, reliable moving services for home or business, call Two Men in a Truck, the movers who care. TwoMenInATruck.com.
When it comes to sending last-minute Valentine's Day gifts,
cursing.
No, that's the Grateful Dead, Run for the Roses.
I understand. Sometimes they curse in that one.
Not in that part.
Not in that part. Beautiful Amaryllis, just gorgeous. She says they've been enjoying it since November, and for those of y'all who are curious, this one is waxed at the bottom, so that's really a good sign for how long those can continue to be just beautiful. Gorgeous, gorgeous. Talking about planting potatoes, yeah, that's correct. Don't let them dry out. That's really good advice on my part because it's a good question. I don't always think about that because we think of winter as being slightly more wet, and usually it is, but it might not be. So that's important to water them as we need to. If I can talk back to our caller again, can we go that way?
Joe is ready to go.
Okay. Hey, Joe, here's what I'm telling you. Here's what I'm telling her to look for. A bag of potting mix, probably going to be made by Miracle-Gro or somebody like that. It's a good, nice, probably expensive bag of potting mix, but it's a good one. It's going to have two or three different ingredients of organic matters in it, some perlite, and also some fertilizer in it. So get that bag, and then also get a bag of a more generic product. They're going to have something that's either going to be called soil conditioner or ground-up pine bark or something like that. Not big chunks of it like you would see out, you know, as a mulch somewhere, but smaller pieces of it. What we're trying to do is make a slightly better drained potting mix than the potting mix itself is going to be, because the tomatoes are going to grow so fast that we're going to be fertilizing and watering all the time. So we want to have a little bit more give in their ability to not get overwatered. So mix those two things together, and I think you'll be fine.
About 50-50
Yeah. Do it. See how it feels? You know the concept of tilth? Tilth is how things feel in your hand, and you want the soil to feel like it could crumble through your fingers, that it, you know, but it wouldn't be sticky. And that's really why we're trying to put some of this other material in there, is because the potting mix itself tends to be a little bit sticky.
Yes, ma'am. I understand. Sounds good. I'll give
Thank
it a try.
You. Appreciate it. We always want our kids to have good luck growing stuff. So that's wonderful. If you have a question for me during the week, mamaonair@yahoo.com is the way to get in touch. And the person who sent me the picture of her plant she wanted identified from Flowood was going to look for some other things, other information about it from her friend, about maybe if she had seen it bloom or something like that. But send that to me, mamaonair@yahoo.com, because by the time I get back next week, I won't be able to find this. It's all in here.
Yeah, it gets buried a little
but
bit.
Things get buried, you know. We're kind of busy. Not me, but the people who are here.
Well, that and the text line's the same for every show, so
it'll definitely
get a little bit bogged down.
It gets gone. So send me that, mamaonair@yahoo.com. That's how you can always get in touch with me. There are a few other really innovative things going on. I have time to at least tell you about one of them today. I have been following these stories of the demise of coral reefs for at least 10 years. Y'all have been kind enough to, from time to time, send me stories about innovative ideas and things that they're trying to do, and we certainly know that Florida has done a lot in terms of raising some replacement corals, and those things are very important. But to accelerate the restoration, the Underwater Zooplankton Enhancement Light Array, it's not a very good acronym, UZILA. Anyway, it's an autonomous, programmable underwater light. And because of its waves and because of its location, it actually attracts the nearby zooplankton, which, of course, are what the coral eat. So if you can put that with the coral, as the coral is attempting to get restored, and you increase its attractability to the zooplankton, you benefit the coral. I love that. It's non-intrusive. It's not pollutive. It's just light. And that really works out, helps us a whole bunch. They worked on two species of coral native to Hawaii over 6 months, and it really, really did work. Increased the feeding rates of both healthy and bleached coral, and most importantly, because it provided them with greater amounts of food, it makes them stronger and increases their resilience through the restoration process. That's really great. You can't change necessarily what's going on around the reef, but if you can bolster its ability to deal with it, I'm all for that. They've been pretty busy in different parts of the world. The University of Helsinki is letting us know about, hold on now, invisible electric wire. What? Yeah, that's right. Invisible electric wire. How much would I love to have that instead of whatever is keeping my dog in, you know, something invisible to keep them out of the roses and whatnot. Electric sparks, obviously, we know, are used for welding. Electronics, even for killing germs in places, and sometimes for igniting the fuel in some car engines, okay? But despite that, these little devils are very hard to control out in the open. As a result, they split into chaotic things, branch things that tend to leap to the nearest metallic object. And if you can put that to work for you, you have a more powerful way of using the electricity, even when it's invisible. A recent study from University of Helsinki has tested the level of control of the electric sparks by transporting them through the air in ultrasonic waves. Here we go again, the vortex of wind and the ultrasonic waves. We've got so much going on that is just brilliant. The level of control of the electric sparks allows them to be guided around obstacles, to hit specific spots, and even into non-conductive materials, make an electric wire connection. That's brilliant. There's people, as we speak, trying to figure out what all they're going to do with this particular technology, because this is so huge and so groundbreaking. University of Helsinki, I do make jokes sometimes and talk about those are usually the places that write grants to go to some tropical island in the middle of the summer, in the middle of the winter, or where it's summer there, because they don't, you know, Helsinki can be pretty unpleasant, I'm sure, in the wintertime. But what if they did this in the lab, or if they had to go somewhere to figure it out, I'm just glad that they did. I think it's really, really smart, really fun stuff. I don't know what all you folks are going to do this week, but I hope if you have a chance to see a really rosy red camellia with a little bit of purple in its edges, that you will recognize it as Purple Dawn. My Purple Dawn that I planted a few years ago, I usually plant them and give them away. I usually end up digging the plants up and giving them to somebody because I love that one so much. But this one I've left in the ground long enough that I have now two flowers on it, a big one and another bud that's just starting to open. Appreciate that one. I'm so happy that when I put that up in the Garden Mama group, we immediately started getting pictures of other people's Purple Dawns. It's a beautiful flower, and it's one that is classically Southern. Every garden should have at least one.
It sounds beautiful and way better than skunk cabbage.
Yeah, we've definitely gone from the pit to the top on that one. You know,
Purple Dawn,
things
that
get their name.
Beautiful.
Well, and it's because it has purple veins in the edges of the flower, and it I can tell you this, it looks beautiful as pinned onto a gray suit going to church. It's a beautiful, beautiful flower to wear, as well as to float.
You need a pocket square then.
As well as to float. Yes, you can certainly combine that with two or three other good looks. I don't dress up much, but I do.
I need you for my personal stylist.
See, you would be such a hit. It would be terrible. You'd be broke, too, because I'd spend all your money on fancy clothes.
I have to get on Temu.
Oh, dear.
No, dear.
Temu. No, no.
Everything will come in petite size.
It will either come in petite size or it won't be a dollar, let's put it that way. 25 or 30. Hey, listen now, Super Bowl's tomorrow. Let us all know what you think about it. Jump in next week with us because we'll be here for the Garden Mama Show. Thanks for listening.
The Garden Mama Show is a production of Super Talk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
Homeowners, Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from 3 licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.